And we're back. Welcome to yet another episode of Deep Thinking, the only motorcycle road racing podcast that exists in this reality. If you've heard any others, look for the portal. Get back home.
You have to go through the window.
The window?
The window, remember?
No, we're the glowing time portal.
No. It's a window in the room in Hitchhiker's Guide.
Is it?
Yeah, they have him come in through the door, and then he goes out through the window, so he's in a different time zone, different reality. So that when he gets put in the little room,
okay,
it tells him how insignificant he is in the whole universe.
Oh, that's the right.
In his reality, the room tells him he is as important as he thinks he is.
The total perspective vortex.
When I was at the 24 Hours of Willow Springs in 1990, Ed Sorbo, you're Michael Gugis.
Right, this is Deep Thinking. This is episode number
42.
And you know what number 42 is?
It's the one after 41.
No, it's the answer to life, the universe,
and everything.
The great question of life, the universe, and everything.
So Team Hawaii was doing really, really well in this 24-hour Wira race in Willow in 1990.
Right.
Like we ended up third overall.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point I walk into the little room on the ground floor at the Willow office to check how we're doing, and it's like really good. And the windows there were open, so I went out through the window just to stay in that reality.
Right?
Not take any chances.
Good strategy.
Because I had just discovered Douglas Adams.
It's like having lucky socks.
Hey, you can find Michael's pictures at...
motorbikeroadracing.smugmug.com. I will be in Vegas at the end of September shooting pictures at the Wira Round.
Stop moving the microphone.
Why?
And you can find me at le-suspension.com. That's Lindemann Engineering. So,
Bugs Bunny... Isn't that thing on the Earth, which is whistling through space at some ungodly speed... And you worry about the
when you add it all up, it's like a million miles an hour
right now.
We're sitting still.
The stool is not going to help.
Yeah, but the you're moving the microphone closer and farther, so the Doppler effect might make the sound quality not so
Doppler
good. How's that?
Somebody has had to have
So Bugs Bunny was walking down the street, and he sees a phone booth.
Dear God.
Now, old ones might have to tell the young ones what a phone booth is.
Right.
Okay, so the phone in the phone booth is ringing. So Bugs, being the kind of guy that he is, right, he answers the phone. He goes, "Hello?" And a guy on the other end is like, "Wow, man, today's your lucky day. You can win $5 million if you answer this question in 5 seconds." And Bugs is thinking, well, this isn't my cell phone, so he's not like tracking me to see if I'm a real person,
because
so he can
was
scam
no
me later,
etc.
Right? Bugs is really far ahead thinking. So this phone solicitor says, "Answer the question. What is 8,000? Do it with us, folks. 8,417 times 4,215. And Bugs goes, "Oh, that's easy. The answer is 35,477,655. The voice goes, "Wow, that's amazing." And Bugs, of course, looks at the camera deadpan and said, "Not really. If there's one thing us bunnies can do,
it's multiply."
That's a follow-on because I mentioned the big rabbits on the Teletubbies thing.
I actually have a pain.
And we can thank Tony for this great joke. Okay.
Oh, dear God.
So check it out.
I'm a genius.
We know that.
Yes,
we proved it over and over again.
You need to know why.
It's getting boring already.
No, there's two geniuses. There were two geniuses.
Okay, you explain why you're a genius. I'm going to eat some Hickory Farm snacks.
I was on my way over here.
You were on your way over here. You're riding your motorcycle. And you thought to yourself, you said self.
"I'm getting really hungry. Should I stop for food?" And then I realized there's no reason to stop for food because we have a plethora. A plethora, Ed. That's a 25-cent word right there. Of Hickory Farms.
A cornucopia.
You know what? We almost have an excess, but when it comes to Hickory Farms,
There
is no excess. We have a whole bunch of people to thank for Hickory Farms. Before I explain to Ed why me and Mark Marquez are thinking along the same lines. But go ahead, Ed. Tell us who we have to thank for the Hickory Farms.
So just as a explainer.
Right.
Not all of our listeners have listened from the very first episode.
Right.
But they all will.
No,
once they discover us.
Well, as a matter of fact, if you haven't listened to all of our podcasts yet, hit pause, go back, listen.
You can listen to this one
to
the end, and then you can listen.
Then you can come back.
No, really. I just asked a guy about this. He called me up. We were talking. He said something about the podcast or whatever. And I asked him, you know, "How'd you hear about it, blah, 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 blah." And so he's only heard about it recently. He's heard one or two so far.
Right.
And I said, "So are you planning to listen to the others?" He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Let me recommend that you start from the first one because there are things that connect back. It'll make more sense." And he said he was looking forward to it. And I think that the majority of our listeners are going to do it that way.
Probably. So that's what I do.
Anyway, there was a podcast in the back. We were talking about what to do for your sponsors and how to get sponsors and all.
Right.
And I pointed out that as Lindemann Engineering sponsors the Rich Oliver Mystery School.
You know, I wonder if we're cutting into the Rich Oliver Hot Hickory Farm Supply.
You know, they'll make more. So
go ahead.
So I, what Rich does is every year I get a gift basket as a thank you.
He cracks himself up.
And so we recommended that as a thing to do for your sponsors. It doesn't cost much. It puts you head and shoulders above all the other losers who are just all gimme, gimme, gimme. And so then Michael, being the slut that he is, he started saying, well, everybody should send us Hickory Farms. So the UPS man has been busy here. Let's see. Let's
Wait,
get these
did
in
you
order.
Just call me a slut?
Yes.
You know what, Ed? I see you
I cut that piece of cheese for me.
I see you eating.
You're stealing my cheese.
Yes, because you called me
You've
a slut.
You've touched it now. You better eat it.
Oh, yeah.
So, you guys will remember Rick Crespo from MotoElite.com. That's Moto-Elite.com. Right. Okay? Right. So, he's such a slut that when we mention him, because he was the first to send us a Hickory Farms gift basket, and you only got to go online and give them your card number, and they send it. You don't have to do any work at all. The first time, he didn't even include a note on the box. He had to, like, figure out who it was from. He had to send me an email
because they wanted
and claim
two,
it.
They wanted $2 for a note. That was a little much for
out.
Rich.
He said he noticed an uptick in the number of hits on his site because of us pimping his site for it. So, listen, folks, it works.
Right.
And it's cheap.
Right.
So, times two on MotoElite.com. And he wants us to mention his friend Mark Heckles.
Mark.
But I think Rick is really going on a limb here. I mean, Mark got written up in Road Racing World. He doesn't need our help.
So badass. So that was so cool, dude.
So we got this one from Rick. And then the next thing that came was an envelope in the mail from Petrol Motors. And Petrol Motors is Tracy Scott. And how do you say his last name? You were being a professor right there.
Cesario. Let's go with that.
Okay. So Tracy is a significant other to a really fast chick who rides. And so he sent us an Aprilia.
No, he didn't.
And I got Michael Good. I'm sitting on the Aprilia eating Hickory Farms. Your Aprilia is here. It's a sticker, an Aprilia sticker. And I put it on the countertop and I was sitting on it when I called Michael.
Right.
And I had the Hickory Farms box
that
in front of me.
That sticker's in good shape, dude.
Well, except for this corner,
that's
like
not,
right
but
here.
That's not
that's
really
peeled
a sticker.
Back
that's an applique. That's just the backing paper. It'll work.
Oh, yeah, you're right. This
yeah,
is
yeah,
a
yeah.
this is a die cut sticker.
Right?
Wow.
Die cut mofo. Look
Scott
at that.
Scott went, Tracy went big time.
It looks all factory and shit.
So
dude.
Petrol Motors is kind of cool.
Right.
He refurbishes old European cars.
Really?
He's in the LA area.
Awesome. Yeah.
And he's probably going to start racing pretty soon. I think he just picked up a 250 Ninja. His girlfriend, who's faster than him, has a 600 Honda with Lindemann suspension.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
Then we
thank,
got...
Thank you.
And so they put a little label on the outside of the box that, you know, you can put your message
hey,
to.
Hey, Ed, I'm going to cut the
you're
cheese.
You going to have some more
cheese? No, I'm
going to
cut the
yeah,
cheese.
But I'm...
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
So my good friend Bill Wickersham of the Wickersham Racing Organization...
The Empire.
And, oh, it's an empire now. Very good.
Wickersham
I like that.
Wickersham Racing Empire.
So, but he's got some supporters.
Right.
So it says, compliments of the Wickersham Racing Organization, Nick Harris, Matt Burt, and Darren Gray. So
yay.
You don't know who they are?
No clue.
They're famous.
I know Nick
you
Harris.
You listen to them all the time. They're the three announcers on MotoGP.
Right.
I think Bill is using a little artistic license here. I don't think that the three of them actually chipped in for
I
the
don't
cost.
Think they, I don't think they know. I don't think they would know Bill. If Bill showed up on their front door, they'd probably all say the same thing. Security.
Actually, they would recognize him as another gearhead.
Right.
And, you know, he can take you on a tour of a C-17. Which
that's
is freaking
cool.
Cool, right?
Well, yeah, it'll take a while. It's a big ass plane.
It's a big ass plane. The C5 is bigger.
I know.
You know, funny. You gotta go, check out the titanium I got on my motorcycle. And you go look at the C5 brake calipers and all that. There's more titanium on one rotor on a C5 than you got on your whole motorcycle.
Right.
And all the safety wire. There's none of this, oh, can I use clips? What's a pigtail bullshit? There's fucking artwork safety wire on those planes. It's really, really cool. So that was Bill. Thank you very much, Bill. And Bill had a great suggestion.
Which was?
For a topic, bikes we want the manufacturers to build.
I want them to build that Honda again.
So,
what a surprise. Ed and I disagree on that.
we got international reach. We got a third box.
We international.
And the note says the Aprilia is stuck in customs. Until then, enjoy, .. the Limey. And the Limey is Alan Cunningham of safermoto.com.
We know Alan.
Yes, we know Alan.
Yeah. He races at WIRA.
He's a local. He is currently racing on the Isle of Man right now as we speak.
And he sells the inflatable vests.
He sells the inflatable vests you wear on the outside of your leathers.
And he's clearly a man of taste and class because he raced an SB 500 for a while.
Yeah, he races a bunch of weird small planes and stuff
Alan
like that.
Alan and I, good karma on that. Excellent. Way cool. This is great. God, I will do anything for meat and cheese. And I am real. I'm talking about putting on a fright wig and hanging out by the dock. I mean, that sort of do anything for meat and cheese. Uh-oh.
That fly has to die.
That fly just needs to leave one way or another. All right. Let's see. Bikes that we wish the manufacturers. Well, never mind. Let's get back to racing for a moment.
Yeah, we're gonna save that bike thing because that's a whole episode.
That's
two or three.
That might be the holiday season one.
Not bad. Only 10 minutes so far.
Really?
Yeah. So we can cover some topics.
All right, I'm a genius.
Yeah. Again.
Okay. I was trying to explain to you last time why Valentino was pushing so hard at Silverstone in the rain.
Yes.
And I was trying to explain to you that Valentino perceives...
Did it work, explaining to me?
Absolutely not. It was like
a
ping-pong ball bouncing off of a bowling ball.
Before we go there, sorry, one more thing in this category.
Which is?
You got a Facebook message.
I did.
Yes.
Yes.
It had to be sent to me, folks, because Michael refuses to participate.
I don't believe
in Facebook. So Cody sent a message. What's his last name?
Cody Newman.
Cody Newman sent a message to me. And by the way, Cody... First of all,
that was totally badass. Sending a message to Ed, telling Ed that he shouldn't be on the podcast.
Yeah, that was great, right? So, in all fairness,
hey man, what's your wife's phone number?
In all fairness, we were doing that podcast over the phone, so we can't see each other, and the cell phone does do that thing where you can't tell the other person's trying to talk.
Right.
So I was cutting Michael off more than normal in that podcast. But at the time, I couldn't hear him mumbling about the plunger. That was funny.
The plunger.
And
right.
He was like, where's the plunger when I kept talking?
When I desperately needed one.
But generally, we do cut each other off. But when we're in person, like we are now, then it flows a little bit better.
We
could use some advice on what technology would make it easier for us to make podcasts when we can't get together if anybody knows. We got a little better. That one you just did, whatever you did different, was better than the first time.
A speaker phone rather than my cell phone. Hanging it up.
Yeah. So anyway, Cody sent a message to Michael through me. And what was the question he wanted to ask you? Is there anything you need to say to Cody due to that message?
No, he's my hero.
Yeah, okay.
You know? No, and his bike looks good
in
my photos.
Cody, I think you owe him Hickory Farms.
His bike looks good in my photos. It's really funny. I shoot pictures, and some people... Their bike, I can do everything right and the bike just will not come out. There's a guy, Gil Flores. He races with WIRA. He has the black and green Kawasaki's. My camera loves his bike. For whatever reason, the photos are just spectacular.
You know, pros just take good pictures of everything.
I am definitely not a pro.
Okay.
All right, I am definitely an
amateur. So thank you, Cody. Now continue with your Rossi story.
You're ready to cut me off again?
No,
motherfucker.
I'm always
right,
ready.
I'm sorry, we're right here.
The plunger's in the bathroom.
Right?
But go get it. I'll talk while you're gone.
Right? I'm sure you will.
Just leave your cards on the table there while you go to the bathroom.
I won't peek. Exactly. What was I going to say? Right!
Rossi.
So what I was saying. Okay, so why does he have to push so hard at Silverstone? Because he knows
he
in the rain...
To win?
No, he knows in the rain he has an advantage over George. He has to take full advantage of that. Okay, he can't.
Turns out he had advantage over everybody.
Right, but he can't. He can't even run the risk of just letting Marquez go because he needs full points for the win.
He wasn't 5 extra points. He wasn't letting Marquez go. He was in front of Marquez the whole time.
No, but my point is, he couldn't just say to Mark, "You just go ahead."
Well, he wasn't going to pull over and wave the guy bye.
But here's the thing: if he thought he could beat George in the dry, he might have.
No, that's crazy talk, man.
No, it's not crazy
talk.
Being
on the top step is better than the second
step. Always, but being on the podium is better than being
on the ground. So your argument is that in the rain, it's always a little bit better to go a little bit slower because there's so much random shit. Like, look at Marquez's crash, right? Clearly, from his point of view, he did exactly the same thing he did the lap before. Mm-hmm. And how come I'm in the gravel,
right?
That was
great.
He throws his hands up like that.
Right, exactly.
I love the professionalism of the guy. I mean, you can't... You can't not throw your hands up, right? That's so instantaneous. But the first statement he made on the crash was, it was my fault.
Right.
Big right? Yeah. He knows love what bike he's riding.
Love the guy. Anyway.
Yeah, that's how they get the millions of dollars, right? It's not just...
Oh,
oh yeah!
He stunned him.
Got him. He's dead.
Oh, that's
stunned
just...
him, and then I got him with the boot.
Oh, may you have a good rebirth.
One
come,
less fly.
Come. Don't come yeah, back our, as a tarantula, for
our
God's
Buddhism
sakes.
Only goes so far, right?
Right?
Oh, and thank you to Tony.
Right.
Tony's wife
for?
Raises tarantulas.
Raises and so, tarantulas.
And so now I have a whole screensaver full of beautiful tarantula pictures,
God.
And Michael won't go close to my computer.
I can't even look at those things. Jesus.
So, okay. Yes, I agree with you. It was definitely in Rossi's advantage to win the race.
When
would that
no,
not
no.
be true?
And had to take excessive risks. Now, it worked out. Okay, but he had to take more risk than he might have otherwise. So here's why I'm saying that me and Marquez are thinking along the same lines. They asked
you're both
Marquez,
desperate to win any man, race you can,
right? Marquez a couple of days later was asked, how do you see the championship playing out for the rest of the season? And he says it's Rossi's experience versus Lorenzo's speed.
It's totally true.
Yep, and that's what I was trying
it's
to say.
It's amazing how much the championship changed in one round.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because
mm-hmm.
prior to this, it was a three-way, and you couldn't guess all the ramifications.
Right.
Now, it's clearly, you know, Rossi versus Lorenzo.
And that's
and so
it.
So
there's going to be a race within a race for the last six rounds.
The mirror of the Rossi situation
right.
is Lorenzo is like, you know, I don't have to take too many more risks here because
right.
the odds are it'll be dry the rest of the year. I'm kicking that old man's butt every single
in
time.
In the dry.
He knows
right.
that if he's the Lorenzo, nobody can touch him. And so
mm-hmm.
risk getting hurt in the rain to get three more points, not worth
not
it.
Not worth it. Not yeah. worth it. It is fascinating.
And I think what happened
you
with his
Christian
visor.
You remember Christian Serron, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just riding around and I passed everybody.
Right.
Best line in the universe. ever.
For you youngsters out there, Christian raced back in the days when the big bikes were 500cc, two strokes, and truly
screamers.
Evil things.
Before they.
Yeah, before the Big Bang, before any
before they had good tires.
Control,
before
right?
they had leathers.
And he had more He had more concussions than
a boxer.
Oh,
that guy crashed all the time.
Oh, my God. But he was a monster in the
race.
He
was the only non-American to win a 500 race during that era.
Yeah, he was because he was a monster in the rain. And I think...
Well, no, the rain win was because he was the only guy who picked full wets.
He won frequently
and everybody was on intermediates in that race.
He was good in the rain because he was just crazy.
Well, name all of those 500 GP races that he won in the rain besides the France GP. There aren't any.
Specifically name a race that... what's his name? A Wayne Rainey won in 1991. You can't think of one.
Well,
thank you.
So, British GP.
That you're guessing. You're not thinking.
No, my point is,
which is not terrible. Your thinking is overrated.
Christian did not win a lot of rain races on a 500. He may have done a 250. I wasn't paying attention to him.
He was good in the rain. Matt Oxley says so, and what Matt says, generally speaking, is true.
Well, except that you got to remember the reason he won that race is because he picked
rains.
Full wets,
right?
And everybody else was on intermediates, and that's pretty much where people started to go. You know what? You got to go one or the other.
Right.
You can't do this in the middle thing. And that's
absolutely.
What, you know, made a part of the British GP so interesting for all the classes. It was changing the whole time. Do you see the tires that came off of the 600s after the race? Like, those guys all had to stay out and finish on the race, right? Because
right.
it takes too long to change tires.
Right.
Those poor tires were, like, screaming
gone.
For mercy. They
those
were destroyed.
Gone, man. Hey, speaking of Christian Serron, I heard, do you know where Nicky Hayden's going to be next year?
I'm hearing rumors that he's going to go to Superbikes,
yes,
which
know,
I think would be fantastic.
You know with who?
No, I don't.
Aprilia.
Excellent.
Aprilia.
Maybe they'll,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what?
Huh?
Now they won't be able to give you an Aprilia because they got to give it to Nikki. Sorry.
No, we're going to get the piece of shit Aprilia. Yeah, somebody, Ed says somebody, one of
no,
you.
No, 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 don't, okay. don't say it because
okay.
that'll blow it. It won't
right.
happen.
Okay, then
if
I'll,
it happens, then we'll that tell
that
I predicted it.
Okay.
Yes.
But on
it'll
the other hand,
really kind of funny.
We're not, let me put it to you this way. I'm not just looking for an Aprilia. Any 125 or 250 GP bike. I do not want a Ninja 250 shipped over here unless it's a first gen Ninja 250. If you got one of those, you can send one of them over and we will mention you every podcast for as long as we continue to do this.
You know,
right?
Now you're going to need to explain because
what?
All the kids out there think that the 250 Ninja that broke it open for small bikes is the first second one. Generation.
Yeah, no.
That the one before that, the fat one with the 16-inch wheel, is the first generation.
No.
There was actually one before that.
2 years. 2 years they
looked,
made it.
That had 16-inch wheels. It's the same chassis and the same wheels and all as the second gen, the fat one. They just fattened it up to try to make it look bigger, to try to, they thought the American market wanted a bigger bike.
It was a half fairing, little tiny looking thing.
Sexy.
It
looked
beautiful.
A lot like the modern bike without lowers.
Yeah,
it was a great
beautiful,
bike.
Beautiful.
Yeah. But there was no market for it at the time. Kawasaki was only 15 years ahead of the time when they came up with that bike.
So we're looking at, so next year for World Superbike, it's also, they're also saying that, it's Nikki and Marco back on Aprilia next year. On a either the factory squad or Althea Racing may go back to Aprilia. What was the other thing? Yamaha is definitely coming back, and it's Sylvain Gintoli, and who is the other rider? But it's all but ink on the contract. It's going to be great. You know,
I love that. It's guaranteed to happen, but nobody signed the contract yet. And Sylvain, it's all smoke and mirrors still.
And Sylvain has broken handshake deals before, but that's how he wound up world champion. You got to know when to go. Hey, you know what? That deal we signed. Hey, screw it. Anyway, I'm excited about Yamaha coming back, and I'm excited about Nikki on an Aprilia. Nikki has mad skills.
I'm excited about Nikki racing in World Superbike. I don't care what bike he's on. He'll do good
on
all of them.
No,
Did you see his results at the British GP in the rain? Top open class bike right away.
But I hope he doesn't wind up on the Suzuki. I think it's just a turd.
Aren't they going to have a new bike next year? They need a new bike.
Maybe.
They could really use a new bike.
Yeah, right. Hint.
Wouldn't it be great to put...
And why do you think Gintoli's moving? He's going to he's leaving the Honda because that thing, I think it has still got wooden spoke wheels on it. It's that old.
It sure has the worst styling.
Oh,
of all of it. Man, the new the MotoGP bike street version thing, could you have made that bike more uglier? They took two 2x4s and stacked them on top of each other and painted a stripe on it.
There was some bizarre for whatever reason, we have this aesthetic of the seat not just being tiny, but it being thin, so there's not a lot of thickness above the rear wheel. Although visually the mass is concentrated forward, and for some reason the last couple of years MotoGP bikes have gotten thicker back there. They got more back. Maybe got more back. If
well,
you know what I'm talking about.
You know, and you're just, trying to put the air back together.
Yeah.
Behind the rider. And if you make a super, super tiny tail,
you're
just totally going, screw
it,
we don't care about
aerodynamics.
There was
that unfortunate era of the GSXR 1100,
yeah.
And where it had that big side panel.
You
panels,
can call it unfortunate, but it is faster, better aerodynamics. The balance of that, of course, is when you go to a track with a crosswind, then you can have more sail effect, and then that scares people.
The Ducati
phenomenon. But, you know, I don't get into the details of the styling. I just look at the overall bike, and it either makes me puke or it makes me happy.
Wow.
And so I can't tell you specifically other than it looks like a block.
On the other hand, do you remember, and I
but if you put that bike on the top step, it looks better.
Matter of opinion.
Yep.
One of the words of wisdoms of Mr. Editor John Ulrich from Road Racing World. You were there. You were in the garage. We were talking about aesthetics, and he was there with his 250. And I quoted my friend Christian, who he and I agree cannot put a double bubble on our bikes. Can't stand the way they look.
Okay.
It's like, I'd rather be slower in a straight line and have a bike I can stand to look at in the garage. And Mr. Editor John Ulrich said, and the word steaming is what makes this quote brilliant. He said, I would rather point to the tail section. I would ride with a big steaming pile of fecal matter. I'm cleaning that up. Fecal matter.
John said shit.
Sitting right there if it made this bike 2 miles an hour faster on the straightaway.
My point exactly. And
you know,
guess what?
What?
John and I are faster than you.
Who isn't faster than me? But
hey,
I look better.
2 minute warning and I got three of them.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 2 minute board.
2 minute board. And
okay.
You got three of them.
Three of them. So number one is...
That's two-thirds of a minute per...
Yeah, so shut up. Stop posting up posters on Facebook and social media criticizing other forms of racing. Example, bitching that the NASCAR guys don't race in the rain and we do. First of all, most of you don't race in the rain. And if you do, you go really slow, right? And second of all, NASCAR doesn't race in the rain because you physically can't.
The big bank.
Rain
big
tires
cars,
cannot survive on big banking. In fact, check it out. We don't run ring tires at Daytona on motorcycles.
Right.
On the banking.
They're a regular road course.
And besides which, they are racing, and they're making more money than we are, and there's more of them. So your poster makes you look like a whiny little bitch.
We could have just stopped by saying, stop posting things on Facebook.
Well, that only works for you. Yeah, and then you really liked it when there was a Facebook post about you.
Yes, but I like the fact that you had to read through all the other crap on Facebook to get to the one that praised me and dissed you. That was genius, Cody. Go ahead.
The phrase, I'm right around the corner,
right,
takes on a whole new meaning at the track, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And then, this is the
what
funniest
one. What the hell does that have to do with
it's
anything?
It's just funny. It's just a way to think. So, back to Facebook. And a lot of people go through this. You get into racing, riding motorcycles, or anything in the beginning, right? And your learning curve is super, super steep.
Right.
So you're just learning stuff like crazy, and compared to what you used to know, you know everything.
Right.
But it turns out, you're just started. You don't hardly know anything at all. You just notice that there's stars in the sky, and it's going to take a while before you figure out what supernovae are, right?
Got it.
Okay. So some guy is posted up. He's a friend of mine, so I see the thread, right? And he's complaining. He went into some dealership and asked them, how much coolant does such and such bike take, the bike that he owns?
Right.
Okay. And the guy, the service rider or the service manager said, man, I don't know.
Right.
And so the guy posts up this thread tearing these people up for not knowing. Okay. So first of all, you know because you own that bike and you just looked the number up.
Okay.
The guy working at the shop doesn't need to know because he's got the manual.
He's got a service manual.
And besides which, you just put in coolant till the damn thing's full. And on top of that, you never drain all the same amount out anyway. So pouring in a prescribed amount isn't going to work because there's going to be a little bit still left in there, et cetera, et cetera. My point is...
You have a point?
Yeah. It's a newbie's piece of unimportant information. And you're making yourself look bad. And you're making everybody else shake their head about it. Cool it.
Exactly. What's the saying I read in a Dilbert cartoon? It's trivia plus arrogance trying to be passed off as superiority, right?
Yep, exactly.
It's like yelling at somebody because they don't know where the capital of Elbonia is, you know?
Well, there's no such place as Elbonia.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I'm pretty good at capitals, and I know there's no such country.
I'm going to go invade a country.
I love that game
it.
Where you got the map and you got the lines of all the borders, but all no right. names, and then they tell you to pick, where is country such and such or state. I do good at that.
Who is the comedian who said... Canada, he's Canadian. He said Canada should just go invade Turkey. He's like, it'd be great. We lay low for 237 years, and just for no good reason whatsoever, just show up one day and take it over.
Why Turkey?
What? That's the great thing.
Well, Turkey's got a lot of problems. I don't think I'd want to steal Turkey.
It's just the sheer randomness of it. Okay. You're like, what? Anyway.
So those are my three. Thank you for listening. He's Michael Gugis.
He's Ed Sorbo.
Aloha.